Got a lot of good stuff at the beginning here recorded. Yeah, so how have you been? Have a good weekend?
Yeah, I've been doing pretty well. It was a nice weekend.
Yeah?
I had my brother and his friend visit on Sunday, which was a fantastically hot day in San Francisco.
Ah.
It was sunny and 80 degrees all day.
Those are kind of nice in the fall because they kind of catch you off guard.
That's the warmest it's ever been for me here.
Oh. Well, then it kind of sucks. I hate being hot.
Yeah, it was really warm. But it was nice because it was clear. So we went up to Twin Peaks, which has a pretty nice view of the city. And normally you can't see anything because it's too foggy. But, you know, it's the highest point in the city. So you can see down on everything. It's pretty wonderful.
That's cool.
And we went to the Mission Bowling Club.
Yeah, I saw that on Path. Pictures.
It is amazing how good the burger at Mission Bowling Club is.
Yeah, I keep seeing the pictures that you kind of put on Path and tweet, and I just want to eat it. I just want to eat my phone when I see those.
I cannot say enough good things about that piece of beef.
And is it an actual bowling club?
Yeah, well, there's a. I've never bowled there, but the lanes look pretty nice.
Nice.
I don't think you need a reservation to bowl either. I've never been when it's really busy, so I don't know if you even ever need a reservation for a table. But that burger.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yes, quite good.
Yeah, we'll have to try it when I get out there sometime.
I had a friend with me once, and he got the veggie burger, which may or may not have been vegan. I can't remember, but it certainly didn't have any meat in it. Also very good. You know, kind of a letdown to go to the best burger place in the world and get something a vegetarian other than a burger. But
if that's what you'd like, I mean, go ahead and live that way.
How about you? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. Thursday, I saw the band The Head and the Heart at First Avenue down in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Put on a really good show. They sold out at the door and really just sort of rocked the place, which is exciting. Then I hung out in the cities for a day and a half, and then went over to Menominee, Wisconsin to visit a friend, and there was some nice foliage. Driving from Minnesota, Wisconsin, there's a lot of nice foliage.
Ah, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, it was really nice. Good fall weekend. Pretty relaxing, not a whole lot going on.
What was the name of the band you said you saw?
The Head and the Heart.
The Head and the Heart. And is it possible that they might want to sponsor us with some music?
Well, you know, I shot them an email. Okay. They're going to check us out and see what we're all up to. And hopefully they play their stuff on here.
Yeah. You know, listeners could pay attention here that one of the ways you can support Verb Mill is by sending us music that we play at the end. If you've made it to the end of an episode thus far, you might realize that we're playing kind of local small band music. Not small band in terms of quality or quantity of members, but small in terms of notoriety music at the end of the show. And we would love to have some more sponsorships of music.
Yeah. We got a tweet a couple days ago from a pretty active listener. And it says, "I'm sure you'll figure it out by episode 20 or so." In regards to our disorganization of the show notes.
No, don't worry about that.
And here's the part you should worry about. By the way, I just bought Stockwell's album. Really liked his stuff. Ben Stockwell's been somebody who has been letting us play some of his music at the end.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
So there's two types of people that are listening to this right now. There are people that make music, and there are people who don't make music. And if you make music, we'd love to have you featured on the end of an episode. And if you are in that group, or if you don't make music, we'd love to have you check out some of the artists that have been supporting us. You can, of course, find all of the music linked to from our show notes, which is at verbmill.net/thewhitehorsecourier. And we would, you know, love to get some feedback on that. And we'd love to support the artists because they're kind of helping us out here and, you know, playing some music.
And they're all good. We only pick the good ones.
And for the most part, I let Tom pick the music because I feel like he's got better taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I put you on the spot there.
To an extent.
All right.
Yeah.
So you went to a show on Thursday, came back to St. Cloud on Friday or Saturday? Or?
No, I didn't come back till Sunday. So I was in the cities Friday, and then Saturday morning I headed out to Wisconsin and then came back Sunday afternoon. So it was nice to get away, get out of town for a little while.
Did you have to drive 14 miles between St. Paul and Minneapolis?
I did.
There's actually literally 14 miles of space in between them, right?
Well, it was...
No, there's 14 miles in between the centers of them.
14 miles from the centers of them, but my trip from the northeast part of Minneapolis...
It doesn't matter where your trip was. I'm sure you took many wrong turns.
Yeah, so that was my weekend. I'm getting pretty excited. I'm heading up to Design Camp on Friday, put on by AIGA Minnesota. Little venture up to the northern Minnesota to go to some workshops, list some speakers.
Mm-hmm. Who's the keynote speaker at that?
We've got two guys from the head of state, their firm's called.
Yep.
In Pittsburgh. And then Chank Diesel, I think, is given one. Yeah. It's... I'm a little more excited for the workshops.
Yeah, workshops. A little more hands-on.
A little more hands-on, a little small group. Just kind of get up there and meet some people. It seems like a pretty casual event, so
yeah, it'll be pretty, relaxed. Cool.
You're at a resort. You can't get stressed at a resort.
In the middle of the woods in fall in Minnesota. It'll be very nice, be beautiful.
Cool. That's why I've been growing this beard out, so I fit in up there.
Yeah, cool enough that you can hang out outside and be comfortable, but not so cold that you need to wear four layers.
Yeah. Yeah, it only happens probably two weekends a year in this part of the country. Once in October and then again in March.
March. Stupid smarch weather.
Smarch weather. So, yeah.
All right, so I think we can probably leave our Levi's behind.
We can send them to the laundromat.
We only talked about them for 2 weeks, and we could keep talking about their ads for a long time because there's a ton of stuff. Even in the two that we talked about already, there's a ton of stuff that we didn't address.
I feel like they can come up later, but we need a break.
Yeah, yes, that's good.
We need to change our pants for a little while.
I actually have been wearing a pair of Levi's for a while here, and they are quite comfortable, I will say.
I am actually not wearing any pants right now. Well, and it is quite comfortable.
Thank God it's a podcast.
thank God it's not a video podcast, everybody.
We actually had a listener request that. We had a listener not request seeing us, because no one would ever request that.
No, a listener
requested the ability to see the ads during the podcast. And I'd like to apologize, because we can't make that happen right now. You can ship podcasts to iTunes with video content, but we don't have a technical setup to be able to do that right now, and we can't support that right now.
And you
get to hear us describe them a little bit, and we do have the show notes that link to them. Again, verbmill.net/thewhitehorsecourier. You can check out links to all of our stuff there. And we do encourage you to watch the ad, especially if you're interested. But even if you're not interested, we still encourage you to do it, because that's how we roll.
Yeah.
This is just going to be terrible. This is going to be a terrible episode.
Yeah, this is spiraling downward. I already told everybody. I don't have pants on.
It's been a long week.
It has been. We'll get our stuff together.
Things to talk about. Let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
The first thing we want to talk about is you brought this up to me, and I'm a little less familiar because I don't watch Hulu, so I'm going to need you to explain it to me. But essentially, you were talking about how Hulu shows its ads.
Yeah, and they don't do this all the time. It happens probably once every three or four shows you watch. But what they do sometimes is...
and actually say what Hulu is?
I suppose we can, for those who don't know. Hulu is a website where you can watch current and past TV shows. I'm not sure what you get if you just go to the website, Hulu. For $7.99 a month, you can pretty much watch any current TV show that's being aired on a major network the day after it's aired on TV. But there are commercials, not a lot, but probably two or three commercial breaks for an average 22-minute episode.
What they do is they take the standard commercial breaks and they just play like one commercial per break.
Yep, and it's pretty nice. One thing they do, is before the show starts, is you can click an option. It'll be like, how would you like to view your commercials? And one of the options is like three small commercials throughout the episode, or one like 2 or 3 minute commercial right now, and then no more commercials the rest of the episode.
Huh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and it works really well because a lot of times what they utilize that ad space for is like TV show or movie trailers, and so they have a little bit more space for those. But it's kind of interesting to me that now we have this window of, like, commercials no longer have a time restraint, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then with this, a lot of times, like, one company will sponsor an episode, and they'll have, like, their little commercials, but then they'll also have, like, a sidebar and, like, little things kind of, like, interrupting your show.
Like bouncing over the show, or like just the sidebar on the website?
No, just on the sidebar of the website. So if you switch to full screen, it disappears. But it's a lot of times, you know, I'm working in different windows and just kind of listening to the show. And so it's kind of there as this reminder. And it's just sort of interesting. I'm sort of wondering maybe what listeners think about that, having these options of choosing your commercials, and if it helps
make the commercial. Do you pay for Hulu Plus?
I do.
Okay, so do you feel bad that you're paying for something and still watching commercials?
I don't. The same way that somebody, at first I thought about it, I was like kind of annoyed with it, and then I thought about it, and I was like, most people that pay for cable get commercials, and I'm essentially getting a pretty nice cable package with the amount of shows that are available on there, especially this time of the year when there's kind of pilot season, and I like to kind of watch everything and see what's out there. I don't think it's too bad. I think $7.99 a month is pretty. Watch it on my phone. It's a pretty small rate to pay.
So you pay $8 a month, and you get all the TV that you want, give or take. Yep. This is about all the TV you want. And then you're still seeing some ads. Which do you pick? Do you pick a long form ad at the beginning, or do you pick to break it up?
I usually pick a long form ad at the beginning.
Okay.
Because I find that then the commercial sort of tells me more information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm done with it. I don't have to think about it the rest of the show. And that's where I'm worried that the ads are not as effective. Because often what I'll do is I'll play the long commercial, and I'll get up and go fill up my cup of tea and come back, and the commercial will have ended.
Yep.
And I have this sense of control over my commercials. And I worry that that's what everybody does.
And ultimately what you can do is start it, and then, you know, go get your tea or do whatever you have to do and come back. And even if you've missed the first 3 minutes of the episode or 5 minutes of the episode, you can just jump back to the beginning of the episode, right?
And play it. Yeah, you can. It's or what you can do if you really hate commercials is like skip all the way ahead through like each of the three sections that are broke up by commercials. Watch like all your commercials right away, then rewind to the beginning of the episode and watch it. Yeah. So, yeah,
I would love to see how many people are picking one versus the other. I can't imagine ever picking to have my show broken up by commercials over having one commercial that's 3 or 4 times as long as them at the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I'm more interested in is who picks the small ads and why would you pick the small ads?
Yeah, that's really weird. I mean, if you don't pick anything, it just defaults to it, right? The small ads.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I haven't let it default. I've never really.
So like if you were sitting on your couch and you had a computer hooked up to your TV and you started the episode and sat on your couch and you're like, I don't want to get up and pick, it would just automatically go to.
Yeah, it would default to one or the other. I would assume the shorter ads.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But, interesting.
Yeah, so I just thought it was something that maybe, because I'm more interested in the people that are different than I am. Because I totally understand why you'd pick the long ad, and it's sort of uninteresting to me for you to explain that.
Hmm. Cool. So, yeah, that's interesting. I don't watch a lot of Hulu, so I'm not super familiar with it.
Yeah,
but I know that I would always pick the long format. I can't see any circumstance of picking the shorter one. I would also like that on normal TV. I mean, I don't really watch a lot of you know, standard broadcast kit
for television. How do you watch your TV, Will?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different ways. I'm a big fan of the Netflix, you know.
Okay.
So that's obviously ad-free, and it's the same price for streaming. It's $7.99 or $7.99.
Yeah.
Maybe it's $8.49 or something now a month. and you get streaming, but it's all older content. So
yeah.
You certainly don't get week-to-week stuff that's added, except for, like, IFC sometimes puts their stuff on every week. Really obscure things. Sometimes update each episode per week. But for the most part, you're watching things that are 12 months old or so.
Yeah. Which isn't bad.
It's not terrible. We have, in the house I'm living in, we have television. We have a cable box, and we pay for a lot of channels. I occasionally sit with my roommates as we're watching TV, or like as they're watching TV, but I would never really, I've never gone out to like, there's this show I want to watch, I'm going to watch it here.
That's the one thing is, if you are someone who likes watching shows, like the current ones, I enjoy Hulu for the simple fact that, like you said, I hate the thought of like scheduling my life around watching TV. But I can be like, oh, Friday morning, I don't have anything going on. I can pull up last night's shows or like Tuesday shows and
you get can it let all it, down. You can let it go 2 or 3 weeks and then watch 3 episodes in a row when you have downtime.
Yep.
That's nice. It's a good way to watch TV. You're still getting ads, which is a little weird, but is probably going to last.
I think that's the only way, really, that they can keep their prices the same as like a Netflix.
Yeah.
Where Netflix is showing older content, because Hulu does that the same way. If you watch like previous seasons, there's no commercials. It's just the current stuff. So that makes sense.
Oh, that's nice. So if you're watching something that's on Netflix, you're not going to get ads.
Yeah.
We should go on and jump to the next segment of our show where we actually talk about a television commercial.
Talk about the commercials now that we're 40 minutes in.
Yeah, well, we're a long way away from that. We're not quite 40 minutes in yet. So we decided not to talk about Levi's this week, even though we both are still interested in and so on. And instead of talking about prior art that exists inside of an ad, we are going to talk about something that is vaguely similar, which is using a celebrity.
Artists.
Using an existing artist or like an existing celebrity in an ad.
But...
Specifically, we have an insurance ad that we'd like to play, and I think we'll jump right into that first.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that we're talking about the voice more so than actually the celebrity being in the ad.
Yeah.
You know? You're not seeing their pretty face.
If it wasn't for a little thing called the computer, we might still be making mixtapes. Find this, pause this, play this, eject this, write this. It's like the days before eSurance Express Lane. You had to find a bunch of documents just to get a car insurance quote. Now, Express Lane finds your driving info with just one click. Saving time. To be nostalgic. About the days before Express Lane. Thank you, insurance, for the modern world. eSurance. Now back by Allstate. Click or call.
This ad obviously has the voice from, as most listeners know, Jim from The Office. Who is actually
John Krasinski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess this is something
Let's describe the entire commercial.
Okay.
So
since we can't show the video.
Because we can't show the video. So it's a video of, I mean, really it's pretty inconsequential. It's a person's hands stacking up tapes and moving them around and then typing into a computer. And you see a Google search for insurance, and as they type insurance, they get words like insurance discounts, insurance quote online, insurance car insurance, insurance low rates. And the voice, as you said, Tom, is John Krasinski from The Office. And you never see him. He's not in the ad. He's not like, I'm John Krasinski and I support this message or I use this product or anything. It's just his voice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so I think that's important to note because... It makes a lot of sense, and it's pretty easy to note why a commercial would put a celebrity's face in their ad, because then it associates that celebrity with the product. This does that same thing in maybe a more subtle, but almost more effective way, I think. You know? Does that make sense to you?
So you think more subtle because it's just his name? Or just
because
his voice,
it's just
rather.
His voice.
It's not his name.
It's a little bit more subtle, but at the same time, it feels more effective because it's not I don't know if everyone notices it the first time through. They recognize the voice, and it feels like a comfortable voice. It feels like a voice you can trust because they've heard it before. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily know where they've heard it before, but they feel like they can. They should trust Jim Halpert.
Do you think that that's their intention? And by that's their intention, I mean, do you think Esurance is trying to make it trustworthy without obvious that they're using a celebrity?
I think they want to appear trustworthy. I don't know if the celebrity I don't know if their intention of using the celebrity was to make it seem more trustworthy.
So you're predisposed to be more comfortable with people you know and
voices you know.
Familiar. People you know. Familiarity. I mean, in general, right? Yeah. Like if someone you know introduces you to something, you're more likely to accept it or think about it or try it. And so since we kind of have these relationships with these television characters, by using the voice of a really famous and very approachable and well-liked television character, it seems like they're trying to build trust.
Yeah.
But it also seems like they're trying to avoid saying, like, we are using a celebrity to sell this product, or they're trying to make it less obvious that they're using a celebrity to sell a product.
Yeah. And that makes them appear more trustworthy, you know? Because it seems less gimmicky, I think. You know, if it was just John Krasinski standing there saying, buy this, you know, use Esurance. Well, mm-hmm. Why? Because he says so? But when you have him tell you why you should listen, why you should use it, and why they're better, then it sort of is like a double confirmation that this is the right source to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that
it works.
It does. It does.
I have a massive complaint for this commercial, but it really has nothing to do with what we're talking about, so I might save it.
Save it. Because I have one thing, too, is I think that I don't know if every celebrity can pull this off.
Yeah.
I think that he is a guy that kind of has a voice that you recognize.
Well, even if you don't recognize it, he has a voice that is very approachable and friendly.
Yeah. He has a good insurance voice.
If this was Danny DeVito, maybe some people wouldn't recognize that as Danny DeVito, but you wouldn't really feel comfortable.
And if I did recognize it was Danny DeVito, I still wouldn't feel comfortable.
Oh, man. I just love Danny DeVito so much. But I wouldn't want to buy insurance from a company that uses him as a rep.
No. I watch, yeah. So, and I just think that because his character that he's very well known for is, like you said, well liked, I think that helps. Mm-hmm. The voice we associate is, you know, Jim Halpert from The Office. I don't know of anybody who dislikes that character unless they just dislike the entire show.
Yeah, it's really like anybody who knows the character at all has to like him because they've watched enough of the show to get to know him.
And yeah,
nobody watches that show without at least having some admiration for the character. Yep. There's an interesting point about this commercial, too, in that we actually have information kind of from, I mean, you have to take it with a grain of salt, but it is actually kind of from the horse's mouth, if you will. See what I did, Tom?
This is
a press release from Esurance. This is from December 22nd, 2011, when they started showing these ads. They talk about their motivation for making the ads and what they're trying to do. And it seems very candid. Of course, this is another piece of PR, so it could all be hogwash. But one of the parts of this says, actor John Krasinski does a voiceover for the new campaign. Krasinski adds personality, candor, and wit to a visual narrative that captures the reality of our modern world while emphasizing the interconnectedness of our real and digital lives. The campaign also features the Grammy Award-winning song Jam Man from Country Music Hall of Fame guitarist Chet Atkins. I don't think that's the song that was in the ad we were just talking about, but that is in another one. It's the same thing. It's him talking and people doing things.
Yeah, and I think that a certain level of like that wit and the candor they talked about, I think is perceived strictly through his voice because of how his voice sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another huge component is that the character that we associate that voice with is filled with that same wit.
Candor and wit.
And, you know, I think that's very important to the commercial.
I'm a little offended by this paragraph because they say, specifically they say, while emphasizing the interconnectedness of our real and digital lives. And I understand what they mean, but it also seems to be saying that the things we do digitally are not part of this real world. And that maybe is not actually offensive. Like, I'm not hurt about it.
But, no, but
that's interesting to me, and I very much disagree with it. Because I think the digital things we do are real. And that being said, I expect all of the services that I choose to use, so my banking and my insurance and everybody that I use, I really need them to be digital, because that's how I like to manage most of my life.
Yeah.
And that's important to me. And I think in a lot of ways, that's explicitly what they say they're trying to do here, is make it more obvious that quote unquote real and digital lives are, you know what? I hate that. I hate that so much. I'm getting on another tangent here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a tangent worth going down.
So there's one tangent here that we're going to do very quickly. I hate saying quote unquote and then saying the word. I mean, quote, real versus digital, unquote. That's what I mean there. That tangent we can skip, though. I'm interested to note, like, they're saying, like, we're trying to approach a younger audience, essentially, right? Or not even younger audience, but we're trying to reach people that use technology, and that is definitely going to be a younger audience.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about this.
I think pretty much what we can say is that I think you said, being offended by that paragraph's a little excessive.
Well, but I disagree with it.
Yeah, something worth addressing.
Right.
The other thing is the tapes. Like, this is sort of, I'm not criticizing. I kind of enjoy it, but I think they add like a certain level. You know, they talk about like the nostalgia, and you know, you can be nostalgic about your music. The issue I have with it is I think it's one step too far.
Too far?
I think that tapes, I think putting it on vinyl is something that enough people like recognize and associate with nostalgia, where I don't think tapes are taken seriously yet as being nostalgic.
I know lots of people that like tapes for the mixtape thing. That whole culture of like making a tape, and it takes a lot of work. And they like that about it. I am not the type of person to appreciate that.
No, I think that the mixtape was actually perfected once we were able to burn CDs.
Why was it perfected on CDs?
Because I think we were able to like, we were able. It wasn't so like labor induced of like, oh man, actually this would sound way better if the one that was at track two was at the end of this tape. Like, how many guys would ever like go back and actually do that? So or with like the digital, we just like click.
That's the defense of mixtapes, is that you have to think about it in advance, and so it shows more intention.
Yeah, that's the defense of them, but I think that's where.
But I think that's also wrong.
I think it's wrong, but I also think that a lot better mixtapes started being made once we started making playlists every 10 minutes.
People actually made better lists when it was easier to make them. And also, people probably made worse lists when it was easier to make them.
Yeah.
The same way people probably take a lot of worse photographs because they have digital cameras. Like, if you don't have to develop a roll of film, you're more likely to take 200,000 photos that suck.
Can we go down that tangent?
But that doesn't mean that the technology is not way better, and the way that it allows you to have more control, which digital audio certainly does.
Yeah,
you can do fantastic things. There is a defense also of mixtapes that, like, because you don't have control and things can go wrong, there can be more character.
This is true. From somebody,
that's often said by people that I don't think are perfectionists.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's, I mean, now I'm feeling kind of like an idiot because really? I defamed shot down guys who like mixtapes as a guy who likes shooting film on his camera.
Really?
And I think that now that you kind of explain it to me, and I think about it, I think that in a way, you know what? No. I mean, they're similar, But at the end of the day, the reason I use film is because I think it looks better. And at the end of the day, a tape doesn't work better.
A tape doesn't sound better. Although,
doesn't do anything better.
Although, like a record, you could say it works better because it forces you to listen sequentially. Obviously, you can fast forward.
Pretty easy
you
to.
You can do that. It's more controlled. And on vinyl, you can drop the needle on a specific song if you're good. But
yeah.
it can force you to do that. Which, again, not an advantage to me.
No. It's actually an annoyance, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, guys who like mixtapes are not the same as guys who use film.
Well, there's probably a pretty strong overlap there, but we don't need to get too far into it. I want to complain a lot about the frame from 11 seconds in to this ad. I'm going to give you a second to
11,
jump to it.
11 seconds in. What are we looking at now?
Google search.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a few things that stand out to me as extremely garish. I saw these the first time I watched it. In fact, I gotta verify something here.
What are you verifying? The awful
I'm gonna take a screenshot of it
using?
So I can zoom in. Yeah, not only that, which is fair because it's actually set to Arial. Like, that's real, but it doesn't need to be real, but we'll get into that in a second. I want to open with preview.
Wait, you're saying that's... What?
They actually use Arial. On YouTube, right?
We're not looking on YouTube though. They're doing a.
Or on Google they do.
No, I'm. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if you have a different computer, you do.
Let me go to google.com.
I'm at it, and my T's are looking a lot better than these.
Okay,
T's.
Your T's obviously look better. Is it? It is. It is Arial, though, right?
This is not Arial that they're using.
No, it is. It's just that T is different.
Oh, okay.
The rest of it is Arial. And part of it is that they showed a Mac earlier.
Yeah. Which is an issue.
Okay, let's go.
We're saying a lot of statements without having a lot of conclusions.
Okay, well, we were not recording this yet. But we're not going to use it. I really, really hate 11 seconds into this.
Yeah.
That frame of the Google search is atrocious. It's so garish. I don't know enough about different browsers to know that they all render Google in Arial or Helvetica, but it's obvious that they're using Arial for this ad, except for the T's. The T's in quote.
Discount and low rates
those are not the letter T. That's a Unicode symbol and it's a cross symbol.
I don't even get why it's there.
How do you mess that up? How do you accidentally put that in? So they use Arial, which is fine because Google probably actually uses Arial on the website.
Yeah,
it's nice and web safe. And although Arial is ugly, it doesn't really matter, and it's not that bad. But those T's are like they immediately stand out, and they're terrible. They look so bad.
Yeah, they're like different sizes.
I mean, they're different. They have a different X height. They're a different weight.
Well, not even they don't have a different X height to the letters next to them, but they're different sizes between. If you look at the one in quote, and the one on rates. The one at rates is much taller.
Yeah, because they're they matched it to the top of the A rather than the crossbar should be a little bit below it, right? It's just, it's really interesting to me. I mean, it's obviously terrible, but it's really interesting to me because it makes me wonder how they made this ad and, like, who sat down and was editing together this video because they obviously didn't just screen capture searching in Google.
Yeah.
Sat down and made this. And, like, intentionally chose to do it incorrectly. Because
it's
more work, too. Like, if they were doing this in After Effects or however they were animating it, it would be more work to put the wrong character in.
Maybe they want us to see crosses.
Maybe it's secretly cross. That can't be.
No, I'm just kidding.
There's just no chance.
I don't understand. Like,
it's,
and how do you not? It's one of those mistakes where it's like, how do you not catch it?
Yeah, and so throughout the entire ad, they show shots of the website, and the website looks sloppy to my eye. Like the button sizes look a little off, and the colors look a little wrong. It just doesn't really look like a nice, clean, modern website. It looks like 80% of a nice, clean, modern website. But this is so sloppy that it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a few more? You wanted to slam them on?
I just wanted to slam them on that. I think the rest of the ad was relatively good. It doesn't stand out as a great ad, but it's interesting to me that they used someone as well-known as John Krasinski without showing him.
I think they did a nice job with that. They used him effectively.
Yeah. I mean, their defense of it, whether or not they're completely honest on their press release, is very good, because that's exactly what I would have said about it, and then that was exactly why they picked it. So, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I think, and this is kind of neat that we finally, we always like when we can actually hear about the ad. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, we like to see, because, you know, it's not very common to explicitly say why you're showing a specific ad, or when you're showing it, or why you chose different decisions.
Also, I have, while we're on this note of talking about actors' voices and ads, mm-hmm. I have a question for our viewers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking for your help a little bit.
Okay.
There's an insurance ad where Kiefer Sutherland does his voice at the end.
All right.
And I heard it twice.
All right.
And I heard it, like, I didn't see the screen, so I didn't know who it was. And I've been searching high and low. So if you come across that, shoot it to me, because mm-hmm. I'd like to give it another look.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to have to do some shows about insurance commercials at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're not really talking about this commercial as much as we're talking about the idea of using a celebrity inside of a commercial. And this just happens to be a nice one to do it with. That would be great. If you have any idea, or if you know the specific ad and can send us a link to it, we would love to see this ad with Kiefer Sutherland. You also mentioned a Chevy one, right?
Yeah, I have looked it up a little bit, not enough real research. Chevy runs deep. At the end of those ads, the new campaign with the Chevy Volts, it says Chevy runs deep, and the person that says it, I swear, is Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I have not confirmed it was Chevy or with Tim Allen. I've been awaiting his call all day.
Yeah, the guy's got back to me.
Yeah. I shot him a text, and he's really bad at responding.
Yeah.
So that's a voice that most Chevy users probably have sort of associated with a voice you can trust because of characters he has played.
Yeah.
But I think this Esurance one was probably the most effective. Because it was the whole ad, and because John Krasinski's a little bit less known than Tim Allen, so you don't know right away where you recognize his voice from.
He might be a little more known for people in our age group.
Our age group,
is clearly trying to hit people that are younger, right? And fans of The Office is maybe not their target market, but I bet their target market includes a lot of fans of The Office.
That's true.
People that are buying a Chevy, like a new Chevy, or the Target, are probably 5 or 10 years older than us.
And yeah,
those would be people that were watching Home Improvement more than us a little bit, or you know, other saw shows. More of his comedy, maybe are a little more familiar with him.
That's true.
Because I feel like right now I would recognize John Krasinski's voice first before I would recognize Tim Allen's.
I think that's the demographic.
A lot to do with targeting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So celebrities and ads.
Celebrities and ads. It's interesting. And this is the sort of thing that we don't need to address necessarily next week, but we are interested in hearing what our listeners think
about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, forgot to run this by you before the show, so we might cut this out. I think now is a good time that we start our little segment called Getting Worse.
Ooh, all right.
We've been talking for a while now, and I think we want to have a little, maybe not every week, but whenever Will or I notice that something
is getting
in
worse.
This world is getting worse, we kind of want to bring it up.
All right. And so then what's gotten worse, Tom?
And it already started bad, but it's getting worse. Family Guy.
Oh.
I was sitting in my studio, and someone in the little studio space next to me was watching it, and so I was just sort of, you know, over watching it over their shoulder as I was working. And it was the season premiere, I believe, this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding you, it was some of the worst television I think I've seen. Mm-hmm. The family climbed Mount Everest because they were like in this challenge. Like they were trying to, like, they met this other family and they wanted to prove that they were better than them. And then on their way down Mount Everest, they come across the family's, like, son who is frozen to death.
Mm-hmm.
And the Griffins eat this boy. Then they continue going down Mount Everest. They see the parents are, like, looking for their son. And they go down to base camp. And then they end up going back up the mountain to rescue this couple. And Peter saves them. And at the end of the episode, he, like, is helping in the helicopter. And he's like, oh, yeah. You're totally welcome for saving, you know, I saved your life. Everything's okay. By the way, I ate your son. And the helicopter just flies away. And it's like, what? Like, how can you get away with having conflict like that and not ever addressing it? Just like, oh, yeah, we ate this kid. And, like, it's just so ridiculous. Was the episode funny at all? I guess I wasn't watching it, like, you know, super intently the whole way through. But I used to always laugh at least 3 or 4 times during an episode of that show. Because it had, like, some stupid jokes that would make me laugh.
It's kind of sad when a 22-minute television episode gets 4 laughs from you.
It is. But no, I'm a pretty easy laugher.
No, that would be even worse then.
Oh, yeah.
If they can only get 4.
Yeah. So, but this episode, I did not laugh at all. I mean, I just think it's getting worse, man.
I've always kind of not liked it as a show, and I haven't seen this episode that you're talking about, but I'm not surprised to see it's getting worse because they had that spinoff show, The Cleveland Show,
and
which just took a character from it and spun it into his own show, and was so bad that it seemed like it was almost a meta joke about doing spinoffs. Like, when I saw that show, I thought, like, oh, I get the joke. The joke is that spinoffs are always terrible, and they're, but then they kept it going for a season, right?
Although, that's how all of his terrible jokes go.
They just keep going.
Yeah, and, like, I'm all for, like, a joke that, like, you go as far as you can go with it, and then people stop laughing, and then you keep going with it, and then they laugh again.
There's, like, those 3 phases, right, where it's funny when it lands... And then it's like, it's not funny because you're pushing it, dude. Let it go. And then it's like, you pushed it just long enough so it's funny again.
But Seth Meyers has this thing
McFarlane.
Why do I always say Meyers? McFarlane. And he did it when he was on a couple times. I saw when he was hosting Saturday Night Live. Where he pushes you to that point where first, the joke doesn't really land. The only time he pushes it is when the joke doesn't land the first time. And then he pushes it, and then it becomes kind of funny. And then he pushes it more, and you're like, stop. It's like uncomfortable, stop. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse.
Weird.
Yeah.
In other comedy news, Ron White just released a $5 special, which is kind of taking on that. Like, Louis C.K. did this a while ago, super famously, very fantastically.
Yeah.
He just skipped the middleman, recorded his own special, paid out of pocket to record and produce it, and he did mostly editing himself. He even edits his television show.
Yeah,
himself,
he does everything on his television show.
But he released it online for $5. So you pay $5, you get the show. And then Aziz Ansari did it. And I actually just watched Aziz. I hadn't watched it yet.
Very good.
It was pretty good. It wasn't great.
I enjoy him better on TV than his stand-up.
Yeah, he's better in the shows that he's in than he is in his stand-up. I don't think I'll ever watch that stand-up special again. Ron White just did it. Ron White, of course, is from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour and has done a fair amount of other things. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up or not. I might go see it, but it's kind of interesting. My gut reaction when I saw it was, oh, it's getting worse that everyone's doing this. And then I thought, wait, you're an idiot, Will. It's awesome. Every comedian should do this. This is the best way to distribute content. just pick a price. Maybe $5 is being lazy. Maybe you should try to pick a better price for yourself. Maybe you're worth more or less or whatever.
Yeah.
And just sell it to people. And that's awesome. And I'm so happy that people are doing that.
Because
so that's kind of a bring up, you know, because we have it's getting worse. Let's get a little, bit of a bring up. It's getting something better. Related that's getting better. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah.
Yes.
So don't go, you know, crying yet.
Don't go crying yet.
We always leave you on a high.
Always leave you on a high note. I suppose that probably means that this will wrap up episode 7 of the White Horse Courier.
Yeah.
Where can people find us, Tom?
They can find us at verbmill.net.
That's verbmill.net.
V as in volume.
E as in
eccentric. As in eccentric. R as in robitussin. B as in battlefield. M as in M&M.
Oh, that's not helpful.
I as in that thing in your head.
I would hope you would have stopped this joke a while ago.
I'm doing that Seth Meyers or
Seth MacFarlane.
Well, I always do that. Oh,
it's okay.
Seth MacFarlane thing. That was the joke, is that I was trying to be a Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, let's wrap up. verbmill.net/thewhitehorsecourier.
And you can get me on Twitter at Will Imholt.
Or you can get me at Tom Wixo.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sandstone got the river, Fifth Street growing fast. Lumberman and the millers, they had found their home at last. The world's greatest hydropower this world had ever seen. The winters here were long and cold, and the river banks were mean. And they work all day and they work all night, work on till they see the light. When the morning comes, do it all again. Let's get this water flowing, a Paramount Canal. Get them steamboats rolling into town. Damn the falls and run the mill. Our only hope is our heroes will. I see you when the sun comes out again. Hope my feet don't fail me now. Grab your wives, get out of town. Cause this old river sawmill's gotta go. Town. And any man that gave a damn was surely gonna drown. The maelstrom sucked anything dared to come around. Buildings, horses, flowers, and debris. So climb a tree or build a boat. Make damn sure that it will float. And say your prayers tonight. Sell your flour and sell your grain. Drink your bourbon and whip your cane. Get ready, boys. I think we're going down. Damn the falls and run the mill. Our only hope is our heroes will see you. sawmill's gotta go. Damn the falls and run the mill. Our only hope is our heroes will all see you when the sun comes out again. Hope my feet don't fail me now. Grab your wives, get out of town, 'cause this old river sawmill's gotta go.